My name is in the book of life. Oh, bless the name of Jesus. I rise above all doubt and strife and read my title clear. And bore a painful record, but by his blood the Savior crossed and placed it on his roll. To carve a name of honor, high up in heaven's book of life, my name is written there.
Amen. How many know their names written in the book of life? I see your hand. Amen. Amen. God bless. Thank you, Brother Sister Waters and Kirsten and Kimberly. I appreciate the song. I need your prayers this morning as I stand before you. And I'd like to invite your attention to just a short lesson that will be found in the first chapter of the book of Isaiah. Only three verses that I will read at the beginning. In verse 18 of that first chapter, the scripture says, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it." That's my lesson for today, and I pray that God will bless the reading of His Word, that it'll be for our good and for His own honor and glory. Again, I need your prayers as I try to speak to you. I want to use as my subject title for today, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord." I believe those words are just as relevant today as they were the day they were spoken. Amen. Of course, the Lord was speaking to the nation of Israel. But God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And all people, there are two things that have never changed. God never changes. As I said, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But mankind has not changed either. From the very first man that God created, He sinned and He brought sin and death upon all of His posterity. And every person that has lived since that day has had a sinful nature. That was true in Israel's day. That's true today. The Bible says we have all sinned and we've come short of the glory of God. But we're so glad and thankful that God is a merciful God. And God has sent out many invitations throughout the Word of God for people to come to Him. He has invited them and He has dealt with them. And He has done that in order for them to see their sinful ways and to realize that they need salvation and they need to turn to the Lord. So I want you to think with me today. I'm just trying to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit this morning. I feel very much that there are people in our midst that need to be saved. I feel like that there are people in our midst that God has been dealing with. And I pray that His Holy Spirit will deal with them even more strongly today. And I pray that they will not reject the invitation that the Lord has extended to them. Now we read in the Bible, He's continually calling. We sing a song sometimes. Jesus is tenderly calling thee home. Calling today. Calling today. And that's been true. Many invitations are recorded in the Bible. You know, we read where Isaiah chapter 55, the chapter starts out, ho. And that means attention. Stop and listen to what's being said. Ho. Everyone that thirsteth, He said, come ye to the waters. And I'm going to turn there and read that because I won't be able to quote it as I should be able to. But this is what it said. Excuse me. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. That's an invitation. It's an invitation to come and be saved. It is without money and without price. Salvation is the gift of God. The Bible teaches us that. In Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible says that it is by grace that you're saved. And it's through faith. And it is not of works, lest any man should boast. And the gift of salvation was made available to all men everywhere through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. He died for our sins. That is, He paid the debt for sin so that we would not have to pay the debt for our own sins. He paid for our sins. He suffered the death that we should die. But He satisfied God with His death on the cross for righteousness. And He made the atonement. He made the atoning sacrifice that satisfied God and made it possible for us to have free access to the throne of God's grace. And we can come to Jesus and we can be saved and we can have the knowledge of salvation, and it doesn't cost a thing. I mean, as far as money or worldly possessions are concerned. All that God requires of us is to humble ourselves in His sight, to come to Him and repent of our sins and ask for forgiveness. And God has promised that He would save to the uttermost all that will come unto Him. So there are other invitations in the Bible as well. And we read in the Bible about in the book of Ezekiel, where the Lord said, "I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked." God does not want anyone to die in their sins. He wants everyone to be saved and to have everlasting life. And we notice there are other places in the Bible too. Jesus said in the 12th chapter of Matthew, in verse 28, He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls." Now when He said, "Come unto me, ye that are troubled and heavy laden," you know, sin is a burden. When you come to realize that you have sinned against God and that you're separated from God because of your sins, that becomes a burden. And so Jesus said, if you feel that burden, He said, "Come to me and I'll give you rest." He'll take that burden away and give you peace in your heart. Another invitation of the Bible found in the last chapter of the Bible. These are the words of the Lord Jesus as He was speaking. And He said over there, and I may have to look at that too. But it don't embarrass me to go to the Word of God. I want you to know that. I would like to be able to stand up here and quote every verse and not miss a word. Sometimes I listen to the messages that I have preached. And Mabel asked me one day, said, "You like to hear yourself preach?" And I said, "No, I'm not listening to it for that reason. I want to try to improve my preaching if I can. I would like to leave out all the mistakes that I make." Sometimes I say, you know. And sometimes I say, you know. And things like that, I'd like to eliminate that from my preaching. But I don't guess I ever will. But anyway, I'd like to be able to quote it verse by verse and not make a mistake. But I can't do it anymore. And this is what Jesus said. He said, "The Spirit and the bride say, come. And He said, and let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him come." You know, "and take of the water of life freely." And so all of these invitations, these are just a few samples of the invitations that are given in the Bible for people to come and to be saved. You know, salvation is wonderful. Salvation is real. Salvation is, it's a pleasure and it's enjoyment. You can enjoy your salvation. But more than that, it prepares you for eternity. You know, we're not going to live forever. We're all going to die. Some of us may die from the coronavirus. Some of us may die from an automobile accident. Some of us may die, you know, from a gunshot wound. You know, we're living in perilous times. And we're living in dangerous times. You never know what's going to happen to you. But if you're saved, then you're prepared and ready to go to heaven when this life's over. And that's what's important, because life is uncertain and death is sure. Now, this lesson that I read in your hearing said this: come now and let's reason together. And that's what I want to do this morning. I want to reason with you. God is not unreasonable. I want you to know that of all the wonderful things that you could say about God, you know, that one of them is that He is a reasonable God. He is reasonable. What God asks of us and what He offers us is fair and it makes sense. Now, you just stop and think about it. God is offering you the forgiveness of your sins. He is offering you everlasting peace. He is offering you eternal life. He is offering you a place in heaven with Him when this life is over. Now, that's God loves us enough. His creation. Brother Mike talked about in Sunday school this morning about how great God is and how He needs to be praised because He created all things and He created us and He gave us life and He wants us to be with Him when life is over. Wants us to be with Him when life is over. And so He says, in the book of Malachi, that's another one of those invitations. In Malachi chapter 3, He said, "You return unto Me, and I'll return unto you." Now, is that reasonable? Is God asking anything unreasonable in asking you to come to Him, to ask Him to forgive you of your sins, and to put your faith and trust in Jesus? And for the exchange, He offers you forgiveness of sin, salvation by grace through faith. You know, not of yourselves. You couldn't save yourself no matter how much you try. If you try to save yourself, you will eventually die and go to hell. That's what will happen. But you can come to Him and you can find forgiveness of your sins, and you can have peace with God. Now let's reason for a minute. You know, when Adam sinned, I'm going to try to quote you a verse of Scripture. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. And this is what it said: "As by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned." You see, death passed upon all men. Not only did physical death come into being, but spiritual death came into being also. And you know, every person, the time comes when they become accountable to God. You don't know, you know, I have no way of telling when an individual becomes accountable. I just can't know that. But you can. When God begins to deal with you and you begin to feel that condemnation, listen to what Jesus said. Jesus said, "He that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." So with accountability comes the knowledge of condemnation. And you feel that condemnation. You know it within yourself. Nobody else can know it, but you know it. You know that there's something not right. You're not right with God. And you need to be saved. You need forgiveness of your sins. Now, that condemnation passed upon all men when Adam sinned, because he became a sinner, and all of his descendants were born into this world as sinners. And so you need to be saved. And God will let you know that, you see. Now, you see how reasonable God is? If God so willed to do it, the very moment a person comes accountable, God could strike them dead. But that's not the kind of God he is. He is a loving and a merciful God. And he wants you to get out from under the guilt of sin. He wants you to have peace with God. And wants you to have liberty, and he wants you to have joy, and he wants you to enjoy the gift of God. And so he offers it to you. He said, come now, let us reason together. Reason together. So God says, you're under condemnation. You have that burden of sin in your heart, and you know you're not right with God. But if you'll come to me, and come now. You know, Satan has a way of influencing people to procrastinate. Put it off. He'll lie to you. He'll say, you know, you're young. You've got plenty of time. Brother Reynolds sings that song. And it's a very moving song about the young man. The Lord dealt with him. But Satan said, you know, to him, you've got plenty of time. You've got plenty of time. And that kept going on for a few years. And finally, time ran out. And he had no more time. No more time. So the Bible says, come now. Not come tomorrow. Not come when the revival starts. Not come, you know, after you have done what you want to do. But come now. That's reasonable. Come now. Let's reason together, the Lord said. We read in the Bible, I believe it's in the book of Hebrews. It may be in Corinthians. But this is what it says. If you hear his voice, harden not your heart as they did in the provocation. Now, that was having reference to the time when the children of Israel were in the wilderness. And they hardened their hearts against God. And God destroyed many of them. Destroyed them because of their unbelief. They hardened their hearts. And they did not believe God. And they did not come to God. And so they were destroyed. So he said, don't you do like they did. He said, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. He said that today is the day of salvation. And now is the accepted time, the acceptable time. You say, well, the time's not right for me. Well, it's right for God. Right now is the time that people should seek the Lord. And seek him for salvation while he can be found. And so, God is, he will exchange. He'll take the condemnation away. And he'll give you peace in your heart. And so, that would be a reasonable exchange, don't you think? In fact, that would be a very gracious exchange, wouldn't it? To be under the condemnation of sin and to have it removed and be given eternal life. Life that will never end. So this is a call to reason. To reason. I know you can't come to the Lord just anytime you want to. But when God is speaking to your heart, you can come to him. You can come to him when he's calling you. When you're feeling that burden of sin and you want to get rid of it. We sing a song, I've wandered far away from God, but now I'm coming home. Do you want to be saved? Do you want to get rid of the burden of sin? Do you want to get rid of condemnation? Do you want to have the assurance that the flames of hell will never touch you? Well, the way to do that is to come now and come to Jesus and come and be saved from your sins. I want you to think about this. The Apostle Paul, he was a prisoner at the time, and he was before Felix. Now, Felix was a governor, and he and his ungodly wife, Drusilla, they wanted to hear what Paul had to say. And so they sent for him, and they brought him in, and they wanted to hear the words of the Lord. Listen what he said, what it says. And after certain days, when Felix came and his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. He wanted to hear what Paul had been preaching. And the thing for which he was a prisoner, and the reason why the Jews was making all these accusations against him, he wanted to hear. And so the Bible said, and as he reasoned, listen, Paul reasoned with this old heathen king. He reasoned with him about righteousness. He reasoned with him about temperance. He reasoned with him about the judgment to come. How did he reason with him about righteousness? Well, you know, we have no righteousness of our own. The Bible said there is none righteous, no, not one. Well, how are you going to become righteous? How can you become righteous? Paul told him how he could become righteous. He could have the righteousness of Jesus Christ given to him because of his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He reasoned with him. He reasoned with him about temperance. Temperance is self-control. You know, sometimes we think we've got control of our own lives, and we'll do things the way we want to whenever we want to. But I tell you, that's not the way it works. We cannot live good enough. We cannot quit sin. Sin is a part of our nature. Now, you might quit committing sin. I mean certain sins. Like you might quit lying. And you might quit stealing. And you might quit committing adultery. I mean, if you were guilty of those things. But you might quit all of those things. But you still have the nature of sin in your flesh and in your soul. You can't just quit being a sinner. You have to be delivered from the bondage of sin. And Jesus can do that. And so Paul reasoned with him about temperance and about the judgment to come. Can't you just hear Paul saying, "Oh, King, there's a judgment day a-coming. All men are going to have to stand before the judgment bar of Christ. They're going to have to give an account unto Him." And we have a record in the book of the Revelation of the great white throne judgment. And the Bible said that the judgment was set, and there was one that sat on the throne. And before him was gathered together all men, both small and great. Everybody's going to have to stand before Jesus, the one who loved us and died for us. And we're going to have to give an account unto Him. The Word of God is going to be there. And we're going to be judged out of the Word of God. Did you Did you come to Jesus? Did you repent of your sins and trust in Jesus for salvation? Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? As the song said, the Waters family sang. The Bible said the books were opened and the Book of Life is there too. And men were judged out of the things written in the book. And whosoever's name was not found written in the Book of Life was cast into the lake of fire. And it says this is the second death. You see, he reasoned with him about judgment. And so today, God offers you salvation. And it'd be a reasonable thing. It'd be a very good thing for you to do, to take advantage of the offer that God is making you. You can get out from under the sentence of death and the penalty of sin. You can get out from under it by coming to Jesus and putting your faith and trust in Jesus and being saved. Now listen what he said. I'm almost finished. But this is what he said. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. You know, scarlet is red, you know. Though your sins be red like crimson, you know, clearly visible. I thought about the hunters, you know. They go deer hunting and duck hunting and turkey hunting and all this, you know. And they'd wear those bright red vests or jackets, or bright orange, not red, bright orange, so that other people who are out there hunting, they can see them. Because some hunters, you know, they have a quick trigger on their gun. If they see something move, boom. Yeah. And so they want to make sure that other hunters see them. They're, so they are visible. Well, I'm going to say that your sins, though they be red like crimson, they shall be as white as snow. God can remove every stain of sin. He can make you white as snow. He can make you a new creature in Christ Jesus. And he wants to do that. And I want to ask you today, don't you want him to do that? Don't you want him to do that? You know, every day that you live in sin, you know, you're running a big risk. I'm not trying to scare you. I want you to be aware. There's a big risk involved in living. And we don't know when we're going to have to die. Now listen, he said, come now. Well, old Felix, he listened to Paul, and he got to him. I mean, the Holy Spirit took the word that Paul was preaching, and he dealt with Felix insomuch that he began to tremble. And you know what he said? Not today. Not today. Not now. Maybe sometime. Not now. He said, Paul, when I have a convenient season, I'll call for you. Well, that convenient season may never come. It may never come. As far as the record's concerned, it didn't come for Felix. Come now, let's reason together. You can get rid of your sins by coming to Jesus. You can get rid of your sins, and you can have peace with God, and you won't ever have that condemnation again. That's the promise. That's the promise. John 5:24. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. It's the gift of God. And shall not come into condemnation at any time in the future. Oh, you may do something wrong and you may feel guilty about it. And I hope that we all do when we do wrong. I hope we feel guilty about it. But that condemnation of sin that is removed in salvation never, ever comes back again. It just doesn't come back again. Why? Because you have passed out of the state of being dead in trespasses and in sins, and into the state of being alive forevermore. And so that's the offer that God makes to sinners. Come unto me. Come unto me. Come now. Come now. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he's near. There's a lot of people that passed up the opportunity to be saved, that died in their sins. Brother Mitchell Smith, a preacher friend of mine, he told about a man that attended a revival one night, and the Lord was really dealing with him. But he rejected it. He got on his motorcycle and started home when the service ended. And in less than a mile from the church, he had a wreck and died. You know. Now, I mean, I'm telling you a real story. That's the truth. That really happened. I'm not just trying to make up something to scare you. But the reality is we're going to die some of these days. And if you don't want to go to hell, and you want to go to heaven when this life is over, you need to come to Jesus. And you need to get things fixed up with him, because it's available. Jesus tasted death for every man. And the Bible says, whosoever will, let him come. I want us to have a song. And I want us to stand. And sinner friend, if you're here today and God is speaking to your heart, won't you listen to the voice of God? He's a very reasonable God. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to come to Jesus. He wants to give you peace. He wants to give you eternal life. He wants you to be a child of God. Will you come to him today? While we stand and while we sing.